Today's scripture is Matthew 10, 1 through 20, and Matthew 28, 19 through 20. In the Pew Bible, it can be found on pages 843 and 866. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them the authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collectors, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon and Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These twelve Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of the heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you give, freely you have received, freely you give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for someone worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, I will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit through the Father speaking through you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Anna. We think about all the different things that are part of the Baptist tradition. This is First Baptist Church of Piedmont. I'm curious if we had a chance to sit around in rocking chairs and reminisce about the way we grew up in church and the things that particularly stood out to you. If I ask you the question, what do you think Baptists do best? What sorts of things would you say? We might think about Bible drill. And I think about memorizing those verses at the end of Matthew that Anna just read, the Great Commission. I think about all the other verses that the Bible drill encourages us to memorize and looking for ways to try to find passages in the Bible more quickly. We think about our Baptist hymns, and we think about the hymns that have touched us over the years, and once we hear those notes and think about those words, they put us in a spirit of worship. And we think about the legacy of the worship services that we've been a part of and the way that's shaped us over the years. I'm sure, though, many of you would eventually get around to talking about missions. And we think about Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon in the Southern Baptist tradition. And then also our mission envelopes that we collect for various missions here, the CBF Global Missions. Baptists have been very good about emphasizing the importance of reaching out, and as the Great Commission tells us, to go out into the world. And many of us, growing up in Baptist churches, found that when we got to geography in school, we already had a leg up on a number of our classmates because We had already seen maps of the world, and we had been told that we had missionaries in different parts of the world. And we think about the importance of those things and that legacy. Perhaps you were a part of GAs or RAs and learned about missionaries. Perhaps every year you heard the story of Annie Armstrong or Lottie Moon or other missionaries that you've been close to over the years that you spent monies to support. These have been very important things. And yet, at the same time, there is a temptation that we have to deal with in this kind of situation, because we focus so much on supporting the missionaries that we start to think that they are the only ones to carry on missions. That missions belongs to missionaries in a foreign field in another part of the world. We'll see them occasionally if they might come back to our churches and give reports. But other than that, missions is something that happens out there. And yet, there's another part of Baptist identity that we like to emphasize in certain contexts, but maybe not in others like this one. I remember when I was growing up, my pastor, while I was in high school, had a slogan for the church where everybody is somebody and every member a minister. It would take me several years to realize he was expressing a central idea that Baptists have championed over the years. And the fancy way to say this is the priesthood of the believer. But my pastor used that more accessible phrase, every member a minister. And that is something that we like to pull out when it comes time to vote. When we have power and can exert influence over the church, we want to claim our role. However, when it comes to missions in the community, sometimes we're a little more reluctant to get involved, and we like to send that over to the missionaries and to the paid staff or to the Sunday school teachers. But every member is a minister. And that's where we come to when we find these passages in the Gospels where Jesus sends people out. This passage this morning focuses on that core group of disciples. And in here, in Matthew's version, this is where you find the listing of the 12, with Simon and James and John and Judas and the others. And it's at this point that Jesus tells them it's time for them to go out. And you think about this. We've highlighted up this point Jesus' calling of the disciples. And we know these men are simple men. Fishermen. Tax collectors. They seem to be common everyday individuals. Can you imagine this? They're traveling with Jesus and now Jesus tells them, well, it's your turn. You need to go out. Surprise! You need to go out. And you will be going out as sheep among wolves. You will go out and they will arrest you. Can you imagine the disciples hearing this? They're thinking, well, what did we sign up for? Jesus, can we do this? Are you really sending us out? Do we really have to do this? But Jesus tells them a number of important things in this exchange. And as we today read this, we need to be aware of two differences from the beginning. The first is, Jesus is a Jew, and his disciples are Jews. And Jesus' first statement to them is, don't go to the Gentiles at this point. Go to your fellow Jews. Go to those that you're related to. Go to those who belong to your community. Go into your synagogues. And in those places, pronounce the kingdom of God. Pass on the parables that I've given to you. And so, as we Gentiles, we who have been on the outside, read these passages, we might find it difficult to understand them and to relate to them. But we must understand the priority of God's relationship with Israel, that that doesn't get tossed to the curb. Jesus instead said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And we need to understand as Gentile Christians that it is grace that has brought us to share those promises. So that's the first point, the first difference. The second difference is, and you would be paying close attention to the wording here, when Jesus goes, sends them out, he also tells them to do several things that seem foreign to us. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. These are elements that have been a part of Jesus' ministry, and now he's telling the disciples when they go, they are to do these things. I must say, this is a difficult passage to read and to understand. And there are those in the world today that will be preaching, if you have enough faith, you can do these things too. And I may be wrong here, but that's not my experience. I think there is still a distinction between the ministry of the apostles and our ministry today. They actually were there physically with Jesus. He touched them. He gave them authority directly, spoken before them in a way that we don't understand and we cannot connect to. Instead, we are in the age of the church, and the Holy Spirit communicates with us in powerful ways, but more subtle ways. And so that also proves to be a distinction between the era of the apostles and our day and time. But we put that those questions to the side because I don't think we can definitively answer them at this time. It has a part to do with God's plan. But what we can glean from this passage, what we can learn from this passage is that our ministry begins where others receive us. I think this is an important thing. We move out into our community. The Holy Spirit grants us certain gifts that allow us to touch the lives of certain individuals out there, but not all of them. We as a church community as individual members have different gifts. And these gifts express themselves in different ways, and you will have a different audience than I will have. And then the person sitting in the pew next to you will have yet another audience based on the gifts that you have received. But we see here also this passage about rejection and how we're to respond to those. And I think many of us run to that side of this very quickly because we like to quote this passage about shaking the dust from your feet. Jesus says, if you go into the community and they reject you, then take off your sandals, shake the dust, and move on. And we like that kind of an image. In Jesus' day, the Jews, when they were passing through unclean lands, lands of the Gentiles, those outside the covenant, would engage in this practice of shaking the dust off and then moving back into their Jewish communities. Jesus is asking his disciples, those who reject the kingdom of God, you need to treat as those outside the covenant. That very practice that you've learned as Jews, carry that forward. But we like to quote it in a way that sort of justifies our rejection of those that we don't like to be with. We like to sometimes use this as a backdoor way of pulling rejection of our enemies back into the equation. Even though Jesus has told us to love our enemies, we like to quote shaking the dust off your feet. But shaking the dust off your feet isn't an act of judgment and saying, I'm going to forever exclude you. It is a point for a wake-up call, saying, if the person sees what you're doing, then perhaps that person will understand what the rejection actually meant when you rejected them, or when they rejected you, excuse me. There is this point where we are called not to pass judgment on them, but to move on to our next assignment. Okay, shake the dust off, pick yourself up, and then move on to the next assignment. Not move on and abandon your calling, but move on until someone receives you. And that's the real kicker here. Until someone receives you, and then when someone receives you, set up your tent for a while. Spend some time with that person. And it says here, offer them the peace of Christ, and that peace will rest on them if they receive it. If not, then that peace was extended in good faith, and it will find a place to reside elsewhere. And so, the crucial heart of this is we have gifts. We go out into the community. There is no way to forecast which people will respond to our telling of the gospel. The Holy Spirit will be moving among us. We may forecast that someone will receive what we have to say, and that person then will reject us. And we couldn't have foreseen that. Or it might happen the other way. We might begrudgingly knock on someone's door or open up a conversation with someone at the checkout line, not expecting anything to happen, but then suddenly the person responds in a way that allows for you to share something that is meaningful in your life. You never know when these moments will happen. But what Christ is telling his disciples, and then telling us today, our responsibility is to go and find these moments. We will have to deal with rejection. We'll have to understand not everyone will respond to what we have to say. But we shake the dust off, we move on, and we find the person that will listen. Today, we search for those moments, and as I've said, we will not always be able to tell when they will arise. But Jesus gives us some clues on where to start. We've already said Jesus didn't tell the disciples, go out on the street corner and preach to any stranger who comes by. Go out to the Gentiles, those people you think are completely foreign to you, and preach. Instead, Jesus tells them, go to your fellow Jews. Go to your friends and family. Go to those people who already receive you. And so you think about your own social circles. You think about the places where people already receive you because of your profession, because of your hobbies and interests, because of your citizenship, because of various other things. Where do you go where people receive you? Some of you know Jay Keevy, the coordinator for the CBF of South Carolina. The one who preceded him was a man named Marion Aldridge. Some of you may know him. I attended one of his workshops one time on evangelism. And this sometimes is a word that scares us. But he said we shouldn't necessarily be scared to hear this word. We should be excited. And we should think about things not in terms of missionaries overseas, even though that is important and we should support those things. But he said, we should begin asking questions like, how do we spend our time? What are our interests? What are our hobbies? And how do those interests open doors to conversations with other people? I think about one of my friends who had an interest in horses. And he thought about the different ways that he might use that interest to reach out to other people. And he actually became involved in something called Cowboy Church. This is not going to appeal to everybody, but those who love horses loved coming there dressed up with cowboy hats on and bandanas and jeans and various other things there. We might find that kind of strange because we have certain images of what church is. But this was a way that he could become involved in an interest and a ministry. He had been given certain gifts, and those gifts grew and influenced other people in this particular context. So you could ask yourself similar kind of questions. If you like fishing, does that open relationships with other people? If you go out fishing, there are those quiet moments sometimes where a conversation could get started that wouldn't be, that couldn't have happened out in the noisy life in the city. And so we today can consider all these different hobbies and interests that we have and the ways that Christ can use us in those situations. It's not a situation where we are called to be argumentative and belligerent and forceful, artificially pulling in comments about the gospel instead of just letting the person express needs and then say, well, in my experience, I found ways to meet those needs by being a disciple of Christ. And so there are different ways to go about telling others about Jesus. And Jesus himself is aware of that as he's commissioning his disciples, go and find these relationships and tell others about the peace and the joy and the hope that has given your life meaning. And as we look at this, we may still hold on to some of our apprehension, some of our fear, some of our concern about not knowing what's going to happen and our concern about rejection. And if you remember in this passage, Jesus specifically tells his disciples, there are going to be moments when people reject you. There are going to be moments when people even arrest you and put you on trial. And at that point, we may wonder about this whole enterprise. We may, like disciples, be wondering, can we do this? But it's very important that Jesus tells his disciples in this passage in Matthew 10, and then later, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, before he ascends into heaven, he also repeats this. We do not go alone. Christ promises to be with us, his Spirit and the Holy Spirit among us. And this passage in Matthew 10, he specifically tells the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to have to say, because the words will not be your own. God's Spirit will come upon you and will give you the words that you need to say. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments, but when those moments happen, when you're so worried and so nervous and not quite sure what's going to happen, and then suddenly words that you didn't necessarily know could come out of your mouth, and they are the right words. They're the comforting words. And suddenly you realize that this is bigger than you as a person, and that God is in control, and that God can use you and work through you. And so today, as we meditate on these things, as we think about sharing what God has shared first with us, we contemplate on our mission, and we understand that it is a privilege to share what Christ has shared with us. And we understand that even if there are challenges, even if we face rejection, there are people out there who will receive us. Those people will find blessings in what we share, and then they will bless us back because God's Spirit moves among us. And this is not our mission. This is God's mission. This morning we come now to a time of invitation and commitment. A familiar hymn, Amazing Grace, hymn number 343. And as we sing these words and as we meditate once again on what Christ has done for us, we remember that Christ calls us not just to be disciples, those who follow and are students of the Messiah, but he also calls us to be apostles, messengers who carry on the good news and share what we have learned with others. Let us stand together and sing.